So, good evening, everybody. Welcome to our second Contemporary Halacha Shir about Evan HaEzer topics in Sefer Shmot. And this week, so we have two reasons to discuss this sugya of Kol B'Sharva. We have the reason of Shirat Hayam, that among those of Bnei Yisrael that were actually singing because of the miracle of the splitting of the sea and the final and the completion of the Exodus of Egypt. So we saw their ladies singing. But even more so, in the Haftarah, so we have the Shira of Dvorah, which is almost called Shirat Dvorah, that she seems to be singing in front of Am Yisrael, and it's even recorded in Tanakh. So I wanted to discuss it, this thing in the Halacha. Last week we discussed the Yuval Dayan and President Biden incident on Zoom, and the obvious question that many actually asked me was, listen, before that she's not willing to shake the hand of the president, she just finished singing in front of him and for him. So I mean, is it that even worse? So we'll see if it is in fact worse, it's not worse. But yes, we'll have to see if this thing is okay or not. This happens to be very interesting. I think it has a lot of halakhic ramifications. What happens in your shul, that we are so close now to the ladies. So, I don't know, if a person sits right over there, and you have a very loud lady singer right next to you, and you hear her very well, is this okay or is it not okay? What happens if you're together on the Shabbos table? What happens if you are in Bnei Akiva and the people are singing together? Sometimes you have what's called the Erev Shira B'Tzibur. I don't know how common it is in Canada. I know of only one that happened since I was here, that people come together and sing together Israeli songs. Is this thing okay or not okay? Can you go to a Broadway show? I heard in the drasha apparently that there is the Joseph and I thought the rabbi is doing a test. Right, he asked the question, is it true that he marries a believer? And then people answer, and I thought he's going to say, how do you know? But he didn't do that. It's very interesting. Can you hear recordings? Can you hear CDs? Anyway, let's see all those things. I brought you just a few headlines in order to make this more of a contemporary halacha. So this is actually a very big deal in Eretz Yisrael, because almost every other week you have this story that there was some kind of event in Sahal, in the IDF, and then religious officers or people that were in the process of becoming officers leave the ceremony because their lady is singing. So you see here that back in 2011, so you had four people that were part of what's called Kurs Ktsinim, and they left in the middle because they had what's called Shirat Nashim, and because of that, they, how do you say, Hadiach, they not impeach them. How do you say it? They kicked them out. Yeah, they kicked them out of the program, and they can no longer be part of the program to become officers in the state of Israel. This also happened in August 2022. I just googled Shirat Nashim Chayalim, and again they left outside. And this is always a balance in Israel, because there's always complaints about the religious community that might not be enough in the army, especially the Haredi community. And at the same time, they say, listen, how can we actually go to the army if you're not respecting us? And then they're saying, wait a second, if indeed all the Haredi and all the religious are going to go to the army, what's going to happen? We won't have any more Shirat Nashim, or won't have any more female instructors, and how can we actually survive and have a proper military force without women singing for us? Okay, so that's always a big question, if they actually want Haredim in the army or they don't want Haredim. Anyways, these things happen all the time. Okay. That is once a month, every Rosh Chodesh. So there's a group of women called Neshot HaKotel, the women of the Kotel, and it's a rather small group, I must say, that they want, you know, they put on tefillin, they want to come in with the Sefer Torah, they want to lane. Fine, they make a lot of noise. They have the south side. It's always empty. It's always empty. And it's also very ironic that they call it Neshot HaKotel and they come once a month. Whereas, as a social, the Kotel is packed every single day. But fine. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so they want to stop them, not because of the singing, it's because they want to bring us for Torah. They actually want to make the Kotel appropriate for other Jewish groups other than the Orthodox. But that's already a separate issue in Shir, and I'm recorded, so I can't elaborate too much. Okay, so the source of the sugya. So I just want to hear for a few sources also for this week's parsha. This is source number one. V'tikach miram ha-neviyah achot Aharon et ha-tof be'adah. She took her drum and she goes out and they're all dancing and singing. V'tale miriam shirula shen ki go ga'ah. So seemingly you have your woman singing. Rashi, I think, on this part already answers this question. He says, Moshe amar shira la'anashim. You had actually two separate concerts. You had a Moshe that was singing for the men, and you also had women. You had Miriam amar shira la'anashim. So that is two separate concerts, two separate. So actually, it's interesting. I don't remember where I saw it. I think Rav Vosner brings some kind of source that there is a problem of kol ish le'isha. But he does mention that if she does feel something by listening to this singer, so it could be a problem. It's interesting. I didn't bring it inside, but it's very interesting. But in Shoftim, there's also the Daftar this week, in source number three, V'tashar Dvorah Uvarat Ben Avinom. So in a sefer called Magbushi Mordechai, written by a contemporary rabbi called Rav Mordechai Gelber, so he brings, it's a very nice collection about Tznius in Yonim, and he brings the Magin Giborim, that he brought a question from the Be'er Sheva, that he was asked by a lady, Shishalam Isha Masket, intelligent woman asked him, there's a pasuk, V'tashar Dvorah Uvarat Ben Avinom. How is it that Dvorah is singing and isn't there a problem now of Kol Isha? So we have here five answers. First of all, the entire story of Dvorah doesn't make sense. She was a leader, she was a judge. As we know, women cannot be a dayan, so how is this possible? So Tosfos says in several places, this was a piyadibur. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a special instruction that indeed Dvorah will be the shofet, the judge of the Jewish people. So he says also here, and probably, so she got a special commandment at this particular point to sing, and that's why it's different. Okay, that's one answer. A piyadibur shani. A second answer, I'm again giborim teretz, she'ena kavana shta meshoreret bekol zemer, ela shibcha lanes bederech shir. Says again giborim, who said that shira means song? It could mean a poem. She just stood up and read a certain poem, and that's what actually was shirat Dvorah. She didn't sing anything. She just praised Hashem and just said it in the way of a poem. Another answer that he brings, in the name of the Tiferes Yonasan and Panim Yafot, Shelachen lakcha Miriam et hatof v'da. Now he's going to Miriam. How did she sing? So if you notice, as mentioned, she took the tof, she took the drum. So we actually did not hear her at all. She might have been singing, but the drum was beyond the volume of her voice, so that she didn't hear her voice. Another answer that he brings is, actually, sorry, it's four answers. I think so. One, two, yeah, four. And another answer that he brings is that we'll see that according to the majority of poskim, so Kol Isha Erva is only a derabbanan. So if it's only a rabbinical decree, so the rabbis lived after Miriam and the rabbis lived after Dvorah, so in that case it makes sense. And in that case, on the biblical level, it's fine. So we're actually talking about the biblical time. That's why it was okay. But nowadays, it will be a problem because it is at least a derabbanan. So you have a few answers. How is it that both Dvorah and Miriam sing? The sources from Shas, we have Brochos that says it explicitly. Omar Shmuel Kol Bisharva Shneimar Ki Kolech Arev Umarech Neve. Because you have a beautiful voice. It's from Shir HaShirim. That usually is a song of a person saying how great a woman is. So if you mention of Kol Echarev, so actually it means that for us it could be a bit of a negative thing to have some kind of sexual context. This is brought down in Brachos in the halachos of Kriyat Shema, right? Because as we all know, a person has to daven and say Kriyat Shema in a clean place and also places that has no erva around him. So not only that he has to make sure that there aren't any women around him and that there aren't any tznius problems around him, but also there aren't any women singing around him in order for him to daven. So that's why it's brought down in Brachos. In Sota, in source number six, we have here another more that says, Omar Rav Yosef, Zamre Gavri Ve'ani Nashe Pritzuta. Rav Yosef says, if men are as he's singing, they have this kind of song, the men are saying something, Ve'ani Nashe, and women are answering, that's Pritzus. This is some kind of song, I guess. I don't know that men were saying something and women were answering. So this is Pritzus. In Bnei Akiva, and mostly Shabbos, so people say Sha Sha Shavuot Tov, and then they answer Sha Sha Shavuot Tov. So that's why. So I heard that in Bnei Akiva, at least in Toronto. So some said that this could actually be the example of this Gemara. You're saying something, and they're answering to you. This is Pritzus. Zamrei Nashi ve'ani Gavrei. If women are saying something and the men are answering the women, it's even worse. It's Ke'esh ben Oret. It's Mamish. You're playing with fire. Leman of Kmiyana. Why is it so important for us to know that the second type, that women are singing and men answering, is even worse? Why should we care? This is bad and this is bad as well. Who cares what is worse? So he says, it's a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says, let's say now you give a shiur, and now you want to change something in your community. What is the first thing they need to change? So start with a thing which is actually worse. And since the second type of singing, women saying something and men answering, is ke'esh bin oret, it's worse than men saying something and women replying. So you, as a rabbi or as a community member, should try to cancel the minhag, which is worse. That's why, if you had the power to do so, at least cancel the second one. By the way, I saw that some poskim mentioned this idea of women saying something and men answering as a source why it's not the best idea of women saying Kaddish. Right? Because if women say Kaddish, so they're saying something, and there is some kind of tone involved there. Yeah? And the person answering, that's why it could be a bit questionable. Again, separate sugya, separate topic, but something to take in mind. This is a source that people use sometimes. Another important Gemara that we need to see, which is also connected to this week's Haftarah, is the following Gemara in Masechet Megillah. Tanu Rabbanan Rachav Bishma Zimta. The Gemara is mentioning a few ladies that were so beautiful that sometimes just mentioning their name could cause a person to be a bit too excited. So Rachav, just by hearing her name, this could cause a man to have all kind of hihurim ra'im. Ya'el Bekola. Ya'el was able to actually tempt people just by using her voice. Ya'el from this week's Parsha, when she actually brought Sisera to the tent. So she also used her voice in order to lure him into the tent. Avigail Bizchirata. If you only remember Avigail, so that case you also have some kind of hihurim. And Michal Bat Shaul Biryata. If you only see her, also this will call you, could cause a person hihurim. Amar Yitzchak, Kol Haomer Rachav Racha Miyad Nikre. Rabbi Yitzchak says, a person who says twice Rachav, so he immediately could see Shichvat Zera. There's a very interesting question on this Gemara. How did Rabbi Yitzchak actually say that? Like, if he's saying this halacha, so how do you say Kol Rachav Rachav? We'll see that the Gemara actually answers that, because the Gemara says, I said twice, nothing happened. Only if you know who he is. So, I mean, if nothing happened to him beforehand, isn't this enough for us to know this answer? So says the Yaivitz that he actually said the halacha, whoever says Rachav twice. He didn't actually say Rachav, Rachav. And that's why the other rabbi said, here, I'll say Rachav, 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 Rachav. Nothing happened. And then, and that's why the Gemara brought its answer. But the important part of this Gemara is that he says that all these things, if you remember Avigal, if you hear Ya'el, if you just say the word Rachav, the Gemara says all these things are actually problematic only Be'od'av Nekira. If you know who it is or you remember who it is, only then just by hearing the name or saying the name Rachav Rachav, so now you have good memories from Rachav, and this could be a problem. This is a very important thing that we'll use further on in terms of hearing music. And you hear recordings of ladies that you never saw them. You have no idea who they are, how they look like. So some people are going to be lenient because of this Gemara, because of Yod'ah V'Mekira. Okay. Yeah. So some say that Yod'ah Mekira is also because of the voice. Like, hearing a certain voice that could cause a person to be very excited is only if he knows how this woman looks like. Only then it will be a problem to hear the voices. Okay? I don't know. Maybe she was easy on the eyes, but she was exceptionally great with using her voice. I don't know. I guess she was. Is this Deraisa or Derabanan? So there is kind of a larger machlokas. I just brought here the two basic shitos, Nishmas Adam. I think this is the majority of poskim. They hold in source number 8 that Se'ar v'kol av the village have erva, hainu med Rabbanan. hair and the voice is only erva, only midrabanan. There is no biblical prohibition of hearing voices. Sidei Chemetz says in source number 9, he brings in the name of a rav called Rav Divrei Chefetz. Divrei Chefetz Hashem. No, sorry, Divrei Chefetz. I don't know who he is, honestly. And he says, this is Mamish Deraisa. I think majority people hold that it is Derabanan. It is important for us to know this because we have all kind of contemporary questions that we have to deal with. Knowing that it is only Derabanan, not Deraisa, makes it a bit more lenient. Another important machlokas regarding this discussion about Kobi Sherva is this halacha told about only Kriyat Shema. You cannot say Kriyat Shema hearing the voice of a woman. You can't daven in an area that you have called Isha. Or is this halacha not only in the halachas of Kriyat Shema, but also in general? A person just wants to go to a show, just wants to hear music. Is it a problem also those times, or only during the time of Kriyat Shema? So it's a machlokes rishonim. Beis Yosef says in Source 10, V'ketav HaRosh, that the Shulchan Aruch didn't bring this halacha regarding Kritshma, because he holds that this is not only regarding Kritshma, it's also just Lishmoa, just hearing the voice of a woman, Kol B'Sharva, not only during the time of davening, not only during the time of Kriyat Shema, all the time, it is a problem to hear it. However, he brings a list of rabbis, you have the Mordechai, that says, and that brings in the name of Rav Hai Gaon, that is only regarding Kriyat Shema. Only for the halachas of davening, get to have a clean surrounding, get to have a place where there aren't any erva around you, only then you have the problem of Kol B'Sharva. Other than that, it's fine. And again, although halacha ma'aser, we're not going to hold that way, but it's important to know this, because if you have this machlokas rishonim, this could add up if you want to find kulos for certain necessary cases. Okay, this is another machlokas that we need to know, that whether this is only in Kriyat Shema, or all the time, the problem of hearing women singing. Because davening, you have to be extra careful. We do have special erva for davening. Like, a person shouldn't daven in front of his wife if she isn't sinua at the time. So we do have extra things. So it could be that this is an extra thing that we have for davening. You have to make sure they have no yehurim, and you have no even minimal erva. Halacha ma'aser, we're going to hold that it is in all cases. But it is brought down in Source 11 in Hilchos Tefillah. Shulchan Aruch says, Yishizeh Mishmat Kol Isha Mizan Kriyat Shema. And Mishnah Berurah says in Source 12, Ubidiyavadim Kara Chozer V'Koreh V'Lo Brachot. The person, while he was saying Kriyat Shema, he dived in the early Atlantic Park, and every time they dived in the early meeting of Atlantic Park, you had to repeat your Kriyat Shema. Then he went to the Yosef and Technicolor Coat musical, and then, I forgot to say Kriyat Shema. So now he's saying Kriyat Shema, has to repeat it again, because he at the same time was hearing women singing at the time. Mishnah Berurah also says in the Sif Kotan Yuzayin, it is also a woman who is single, a Afilu Pnuya, because today every girl in the age of 12, so she's already Bechezkas Nida, and in that case, if she's already a Nida, so in that case, she's already an Erva, so it's a problem. So as even a Kol Zinu Pnuya Nuchrit, Gam Kem Bechal Ervada. So also if it's a non-Jewish lady, also her, it's a problem to listen to her. There is a certain heter that Kol Haragil Bo Eino Erva, this is back in the Ramah, in Source 11, so he says, Afilu Bishto, Aval Kol Ragil Bo, if there's a voice that you already used this voice and it does absolutely nothing to you, so in that case it won't bring you any hirur, in that case it'll be fine. Allah said, okay, but this is again something to make sure you're not hearing women singing while you are davening. It says Mishnah Berurah, if you actually heard at the same time women singing while you're saying Kriyat Shema, repeat your Kriyat Shema. Shulchan Aruch in Eben Ezer, at the end of the day, this is an Eben Ezer series, so in Eben Ezer Kaf Aleph Aleph, the Shulchan Aruch brings us a list of examples of things that Sarich Adam Yitrachek Menashim Me'od Me'od, a person should keep distance from women very much. And the last two lines he says, V'asur Lishmua Kol Levav Le'od Sarah, and a person should not hear a voice of a woman. The person actually does that, so us, the rabbis, should take him, put him over here in front of everyone, and beat him up, makot mardut, because this is actually, this actually seems to be a derabana, right? If it was deraisa, maybe we have to do something beyond. Makot mardut is usually a sign for us to know this is only a derabana. Okay. Fine. So these are the fundamentals. Machlokas, whether it's deraisa, machlokas, whether it is only free kriyat shema. Lemaisa, it seems to be derabanan, and it also seems to be halacha maisa that kol bisharva is not only during the time of davening, but all the time. Okay? Very good. Now let's see a few contemporary inyanim. Let's start with recorded music. Are you allowed to now put on YouTube, close the window, and have, I don't know, a list of women singing, I don't know which one, and not see the lady? Is that okay at the time? Can you actually do that? So in a terrific sefer called Hegyoner Parasha, which as far as I know, this person who wrote it is a person called Rav Aryeh David Wasserman. If I'm mistaken, I think he's a businessman. I think he's a lawyer in Los Angeles. And he actually wrote a very nice series of Sephorim of Lomdish issues on the Parsha. And in the third volume of Vayikra, so he has in the back a full contrast about Kol Bisharva. So I think this is actually amazing. The person who's actually a lawyer wrote so much high quality Divrei Torah. It is really, really special. So he brings a fundamental chakira. Kol Bisharva. What is actually the problem? Is the voice itself considered to be an erva? A person cannot look at a woman. He can't touch a woman. He cannot do chibuk v'nishuk with a woman. And he also cannot hear her voice. Hearing her voice is actually a form, a lower level, but is actually some kind of form of gilu arayos. Is it some kind of form of erva be'etzem? Or, he says, or is it only a problem of hiru? Just hearing the voice, it's not a problem. The problem is that because of hearing the voice, this could actually cause a person to hear hurei avira. What is the nafkamim between these two approaches? Whether it is in erva be'etzem, or it is something that will actually cause you hear hurei avira. So he brings potentially two nafkaminos. Nafkamin number one is, what happens if you hear a voice of a woman, they don't know who she is? You don't know who she is. You're hearing a voice. You have no idea who she is, how she looks like. You have no idea. So in that case, hard to believe that this woman could actually cause you hiru avera. You have no idea how she looks like. Hiru avera. I mean, you have no idea if she's whatever. So in that case, it shouldn't be a problem. But if you say hearing a certain voice is be'etzin, a certain form of committing adultery, so in that case, you cannot hear the voice. That's one of Kamina. You have no idea how she looks like. So in that case, there is no hirurim. But at the same time, but if it is actually an erva be'etzim, so in that case, even though you have no idea how she looks like, it could be a problem. That's one of Kamina. The second of Kamina, he says, is hearing recorded music. Because recorded music, we're going to see in a prose of Tzitzi Yezer in the following page, that he says, wait a second, recorded music is not a woman that you're hearing. You're actually hearing the computer. You're hearing the CD. You're not hearing the woman's voice directly in your ear. So in that case, if it's hiru avera, listen, if it's a good recording, it could actually cause you hiru avera. Wow, she sounds amazing. But if it is some kind of form of elva, so in that case, you're not hearing the voice of the woman. So you're actually not engaging anything with her. But so in that case, it should be, okay, so these are the two potential nafkaminos that Hegirna Parsha brings. In this chakira, is called isha in erva, or is called isha achshash hiru, something that could cause a person to hiru rei avira. And lemaisa, so this actually seems to be a machlokas poskim. But nevertheless, some are still machmir either way. So let's see. The machmirim. Chalkas Yaakov, Rabbi Yaakov Breish, he was a rav in Switzerland. I think he's a Belz Chosid. He was a Belz Chosid. And when I say he was very machmir about it, he says in source 15, Eini yodea shum heter baze. There is no heter to hear recorded music, even if you don't know how this woman looks like. And he says, although there is an explicit Gemara that tells us that Yetzer Hara doesn't control you other than things that you actually see. He says, this is true, only things that can actually cause you hiruhurim afterwards. But listening to the voice, he says, I don't care if you know how she looks like or not. You're hearing her voice. Hearing her voice is actually a form of gilu arayos. So you have no idea how she looks like. I don't care. Maybe you won't have a hirurim tomorrow, but now at the moment that you're actually hearing her voice singing, this is a form of gilu arayos in a certain level. It's a lower level, but it is a certain level of gilu erva. And because of that, that is in Israel, he says. So even though you have no idea how she looks like, he says, this is mamish Arayos, he gives a very interesting proof. He says that the source of the rabbi who says Kol Bisharva is none less than Rav Sheshet. Rav Sheshet Amar Kol Bisharva. But as we all know, Rav Sheshet Haya Sagin Nahor. He was a blind person. So he was the rabbi who said, Kol Bisharva. You cannot hear the music of women. And he never was able actually to see women. And I'm not sure if all of his life, but he, at this point, at least, it seems that he wasn't able to see. So because of that, what? The opposite. No, Pukhvat Kyat, you can say that he's actually, no, wait. What are you saying? I think that
like this. If you see her and she's ugly, well, she's not an Arab with you. Right?
You're saying that it's the opposite. Interesting. We have 50-50. Either she's attractive, either she's not attractive. I don't know. Okay. But for him, all he can actually get is actually just hearing her. So in that case, it's fine. Okay, that's interesting. Interesting. Okay. I just thought this is so compelling because he's saying halacha for you. Maybe for me it's different, he says, but for you, this is halacha.
Why do we assume singing, by the way?
Mm-hmm.
Why just speaking? Why call this?
So actually, it's a terrific question, and I did not want to get into it, but I did bring a few sources in the last page, which I don't believe we'll actually see it today. It may be turning into the Chamariv, but there is a Gemara in Kiddushin that says explicitly, Kol B'Sharva, and that is when someone said, send regards to my wife. And it says, I can't send regards because that's Kol B'Sharva. I'll ask her, how are you? She'll say, Baruch Hashem. In that case, oh my goodness, I'm hearing her voice. And from that source, there are certain posts who say that hearing a woman speaking in a way that might be flattering and might bring closest could also be subject to the lacha of Kol B'Sharva. Rav Vosner even says hearing a speech by a woman could be a problem because people who speak from the pulpit and want to say something nice, so they actually want to engage some contact with the people that are hearing them. They want them to enjoy what they're saying, so she might say things which will, I don't know, be cause a problem. So it's in a chinami. But back to your question, so see also in source 10, so see the last three lines, so you have there, I think Rabbeinu Yonah, who says, yeah, Rabbeinu Yonah, he says, Hani mire b'sha'a she'men agenit, ave b'sha'a she'vel kedaka mutar. That's another discussion, whether playing an instrument is enough of a problem, or is it a solution, also last page. So take home with you the source sheet. Okay, so that is Chalkes Yaakov. So he says, just hearing the voice is a problem. You have no idea who she looks like. Who cares? Once you hear a voice of a woman and it sounds nice, this is a problem of Kol B'Sharva, even though you have no idea how she looks like. However, we have certain poskim, see in source 16, the Mishnah Halachos brings in the name of a sefer called Beit Shearim. This Rav said that if you hear a voice of a woman from a phonograph, what is a phonograph? Is it a record player? Okay. So if you hear a voice of a woman from a phonograph and you have no idea how she looks like, leika isur erva be'eino mekira. It's not the most yeshivish thing to do. It's kind of mechoar, as he says. But it's not erva, because if you have no idea how she looks like, it is fine. And he says, he brings a raya, because there's a Gemara in the Avodah Zarah that says a person should not look at clothing of women that are hanged out to dry out. But when is that true? Only when you know who the woman is. But if you don't know who the woman is, in that case it's fine. And that's a raya in our case. You hear this beautiful voice, you have no idea how she looks like. In that case, it should be fine. He says that certain rabbis asked the question, wait a second, this is not true, because Kol B'Sharva hu isur atzmi, right? As the Chalkes Yaakov, what he said that Kol B'Sharva, it's not only the concern that this will cause you any hirhu ravra, it's beyond that, just hearing the voice itself is a form of erva, it's a form of you consuming arayos, so in that case, that should be a problem. Says Mishnah Lochos, I'll give you a bunch of rayos, that no, Kol B'Sharva is not that hearing the voice is an erva, but it's only, it is a hilhur erva. It could just cause you to think, oh, she's so beautiful, she's so amazing, and that's why you have these disturbing thoughts in your mind. He brings a few rayas, he brings Rashi in two places, Rashi in Soita. So he says, why is it a problem of men singing and women answering, women singing and men answering? So he says the problem is because mavir et yitzro ke'esh b'nei oret, it causes his yitzro to work extra hours. So he says, that actually sounds like it's only a chashash hiru, something iser on its own right, it's only something which will call you kazu hiruhim. He brings a few other ayahs, but again, the idea is, in that case, that's why it should be okay that hearing music without knowing how the woman looks like should be okay. That's also the psychalacha of Rav Avadya Yosef in source 18. I'll skip 17 for a second. And in source 18, he says that indeed, akoponim im ra'a tzurata v'tmuna ein la'akel b'ze v'chayishina li'ihur v'zecher davar gabi rachav shemu be'odah mekira. This is also from the Gemara and Megillah, that it's probably saying twice, Rachav, Rachav, because only if you know how she looks like. That's why it's written, Be'od'ah u'mekira, you know who she is, or that you know how she looks like. That would be the only reason. Urban legend says, I'm not really sure if it's a legend, because it actually seems to be quite true, that Rav Avadya Yosef, he enjoyed listening to records of an Egyptian singer. I think her name is Unkuntum. Did you ever hear about her? It's amazing. Every Israeli knows this thing. Every Israeli knows that Rav Avadya Yosef heard the records of Unkuntum. I think that's her name, Unkuntum or Ulkuntum, I don't remember her name. And since he didn't know how she looks like, so in that case it's fine. So there is something kind of ironic and funny that you could go now to the average teenager who's now listening to this, I don't know, contemporary singer, take away his earphones and say, listen, you know how she looks like, you can't hear her. But I can. So the rabbis could hear Kol Bishalva all the time, because hopefully they don't know how they look like, these singers. But teenage boys, so they can't do that. That's very interesting halacha to know. So it's worthwhile being a rabbi. So that is Rav Avadya Yosef and Mishnah Halacha, seemingly. If you don't know how she looks like, it's fine, because again, the idea is not that Kol Bishalva is an Elva Be'etzem, but it could cause a person to hear him, and that's why it is okay. If you don't know how she looks like, it will be a problem. Tzitz Eliezer is makel for another reason. Eliezer says, you're not hearing the voice of a woman. If you hear a record, so in that case, if you hear it from the radio, so in that case, ein ze kolei shamamash. Ela ovrim kechatav kama gilgulim ad shenotza mechadash evat hakol. Once she says, until you hear the ah, there are a bunch of gilgulim. Until you actually hear it, you're not hearing the woman itself, you're actually hearing something else. And he says this is not true, as mentioned, as was brought in the Sefer of Rav Toledano, that says that no, you're actually manish hearing the voice, no, you're not hearing it. And he says, I'll tell you what, we are generally machmir, that you should not be yotzeh mitzvah hearing microphones, you should not do havdalah to your mother on the phone, and you should not do any mitzvah on the phone, Megillah, Kriya Shofar. So why should we be machmir with Yisurim? Midat tovayet gdulayim midat poronut. I mean, if it doesn't work for a mitzvah, kal vachomer, it won't work for an avera. So he says, this should be fine, because you're actually not hearing the voice. I don't believe this should be a reason for you going to the Broadway show and saying, I'm not hearing her voice, I have terrible seats, I have to use these small binoculars, so not really hearing her voice, actually hearing that speaker. So in that case, I don't think that is an answer. I think this is true regarding radios. Of course, you can't see her, but if you want to go, so ask your local Orthodox rabbi. But so you have your three levels of Rabbanim. What to do regarding records? Chalkas Yaakov, machmir very much, saying just hearing a voice of woman is a problem. He doesn't bring any chilug. Is this the real voice? Not the real voice. It is a problem. You have Tzitzeza, who's entirely makeup because it's not a voice of a woman. And you have the rabbis in between saying, it depends. If you know, according to Tzitzeza, there's no chilug. If you know very well that this is a lady singer, you know exactly how she looks like, who she is, everything, still, you can hear her because you're not hearing her voice. And then it says, no, if you know how she looks like, it's a problem. Yeah? We'll see in a moment. We'll see in page 4, I think, 5. Hartz V, source 19.
In a chinami, in a chinami.
Well, I'll tell you what. It has to be, in the end of the day, a kolisha, no? Right? Chashashiru. I think even though the logic and the reason behind this is causing hilul avera, so can we actually mamish do an Isser Derabanan on other things? Like we have examples of Shas, right, looking at a woman, we have examples of Shas, hearing their voice, but I don't know, if a person will be excited by just hearing her address, so now you cannot hear addresses of ladies, I'm not sure, like... So we have examples. But if I were to tell you the address, then this will cause you to be excited. I don't think we could actually obviously say this is a problem. A person should always be aware of his hilul avera, but I, who the Tzitzit Yezel says you actually have to hear mamish the voice. Actually, Tzitzit Yezel seems to say that he actually seems to be like Chalkas Yaakov. This is actually the voice, which is a problem. You cannot hear the voice. Not Hilhulim, you're right. If it was Hilhulim, so in that case, who cares? But if we say that, no, this is actually a problem with actually hearing the voice, so in that case, my bad. I think you're right. According to Tzitzit Yezel, he has to hold like Chalkas Yaakov. That's saying that you actually have to hear the voice. This is not the voice. This is not the voice. So he no, it's not here. It's a Elva Batsim. Elva Batsim.
And so there's no in.
Listen, a person should always clear his mind beforehand, but yeah, it should be fine. Allegedly, yeah.
What if you appreciate the voice, dislike the physical form, or vice versa?
So we don't do a chilukim, right? I mean, a person shouldn't see a person. Let's take this to Hilchos Kriyat Shema. A person should not say Kriyat Shema in front of a woman who's not dressed pitzias. What if she is not so attractive? We have no chiluk. This is an erva. So it's a kol bishalva. The voice is an erva. What can you do? So it's even better. Hear the voice again. I think it's a lapulug. The Chazal say kol bishalva. So Rav Avdi Yosef does bring it that maybe some people want to suggest that nowadays it's different. He says that we have no authority to do that. But please take the source sheet home and look into Rav Avdi Yosef. And yeah, he Imam brings it. He says, hey, some people say it today, it's not so exciting. Yeah. How old are you? So we have to carry on. There's an interesting piece in the beginning of Source 14. Rav Yosef is discussing what happens if he knows how she looks like, but she's not alive anymore. Right? There's a singer who passed away, or she died from an overdose at a very young age. So in that case, can you now hear her music? So it's very interesting. He says it still is a problem. He brings here a very interesting source. We won't get it. He brings a very interesting source of a woman after she died. So they made a parochas from her clothes. So the Shut HaBach was against this idea because you can't see clothes of a woman if you know who she is. So if you have a parochas made of her clothes, so this is a constant reminder in front of you, it's not a good idea. Because it doesn't matter. Since you know how she looks like, this can actually cause you... What? I hear. He also brings down that the kiss of Rachav has to be after she's not alive with us anymore. Because if she was alive, just thinking about her was enough. Hearing, saying her name will cause a problem. So, No. This is a Bach. This is a response of the Bach.
I know that there is something.
Really? Really? Applebaum, you mean? Applebaum, really? I had no idea. That's very interesting. So is that big? And it's also white. So it's not Tzivoinim. Maybe, yeah. Okay, what about holy songs, Shirei Kodesh and Shabbos Zimiru. So first of all, just to begin with the Halsvi, Halsvi says in Source 19, Pisa Frank, he says, I don't care if it's one lady, I don't care if it's a group of ladies. The Gemara says, Kol Misharva, Eimakum Lechalek, this is the entire tshuva. Source 19 is the entire tshuva, that mamish two lines, this is that, I don't care if it's one lady, a group of ladies, it still is a problem. The person who speaks about it explicitly is Zachsam Sofer. I must say, learning tshuvos, you learn much more beyond the Torah. You also learn history. Chasam Sofer is discussing a case that the Kesar, the empire, I think of the Austro-Hungarian maybe empire, was coming to a certain shul, and people were so excited that the empire is coming, and he's writing about the empire like amazing things. He says, "Bevo Adonenu, hachasid Kesar Yerum Hudo, ligvulenu leshalom." We're so excited he's coming, and want to have now a big song in front of him. We'll have a service. He'll sit on the Mizrach, and he'll see the shul singing, and now what's happening is, if we're going to sing with all of our enthusiasm, so we will also hear the ladies. So what should we do? So in the second paragraph in Source 20, just a very interesting read, please, in your free time, read it. He says how important, how much of a mitzvah it is for us to respect the Malchus, especially this Kesar, who is so good to us, and he's so great to us, and he's so awesome to us, and we have multiple mitzvos to give tremendous kavod to the empire. It's very, very interesting to read it. But nevertheless, he says, listen, we want to be mechabedim. Why are we actually being mechabed the king? Why are we actually giving him respect? Because he's actually giving us permission to practice our own thing, to have Torah, mitzvos, and live our lives in a halachic way, in a halachic fashion. So he says, if we really want to give him kavod, we have to go according to halacha. He's coming here, the empire, in order for us to show him that we are actually observing our Torah thanks to him, thanks to his permission. So as he says over here, in the third line, this will be disrespectful to the king. If we want to actually say to him, thank you, how are we going to thank the prime minister, the president, the empire, the emperor? We're going to show him we are observant Jews, and he's going to respect that we are observant Jews. And indeed, as you saw last week, President Biden respected Yuval Dayan when she didn't want to shake his hand, and he said, thank you for keeping your faith. It's very nice. So he also says, in the last paragraph in Chasam Sofer, V'kivan debiramu dekol misha'erva, imkedan kol ha'mitalech me'ezrat nashim, the voice is coming from the women's section, le'ezrat anashim, me'orer hirhur, u'bitul ha'kavonah v'tfilah, v'hoda, v'anachlo mamnim v'fidatenu, sh'zod ha'tfilah v'zah shalach, lo yikuba lifnei shabat tfilah. If they're singing too much loud, so in that case, we won't, our tefillos won't be accepted. So he says that in order for us to respect both the Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Emperor, we have to go according to Halacha and make sure not to sing and hear the voices of women while we are davening when he comes to visit our shul. And Tzitzel Yezer in Source 21 and in page 5, so he brings this also, Allah Lebaisa, he actually brings a case of a person that was offered a job that he was supposed to be, part of a school of nurses, and he was supposed to do for them Kiddush every single Shabbos. But while he's there, he will hear those ladies singing Shalom Aleichem, Eshes Chayil, and he says we see from here from the Chasam Sofer that even songs of Kiddusha it's a problem, and even songs of Kiddusha you have the problem of Kol Bishai Erva. And he says, he also brings a sefer called Be'er Sheva, Tochacha Megula, Source 21, the third paragraph, Tochacha Megula, Yafav Meula, Dabiyam Bachorim, Vegam Betulot, Zgim Neharim, ובפרד השם ישרות, שהם מזמרות, משמעת כל השיר בזמירות בשבת, עם בחורים, זקנים נערים יחד, ואינם מסבים לב, שמצווה הבאה על ידי עבירה חמורה. So singing together, Shabbos Zmiros, many of them together, says Tzitzel Yezer, this is a mitzvah הבאה בעבירה. So he says to him, if this is the job that she's offered to you, don't take the job. And they offer you to be a teacher in a girl's school, and you have to be part of their singing, don't take the job. If you could go outside while they're singing, okay, that's already fine. But being part of their singing, you should not be there. So you see here, those who are machmir in songs. Okay? But now we have the tshuva of the Sri Yesh. And honestly, I brought almost all the tshuva because it's such a fascinating tshuva. I highly recommend to read the entire tshuva. I mean, if you have at home some kind of way to get the sefer, I might even send it to you on the email. It's an amazing tshuva. It's a very fascinating tshuva. And this is a tshuva that he brings, which is the source that permits mixed singing in schools, in Bnei Akiva, everywhere. This is the Sri Yesh, a very famous Sri Yesh. And I think you can learn a lot of history from this Sri Yesh. Apparently that, I'm not sure which year it is. So there is an organization called Yeshuon. I don't know what this organization is. It seems to be some kind of Bnei Akiva that they had in France. And he says, "Kamu negdo orerim mitzad chug yadua shel charedim, asher efid atan ein adarech hazot efi ruach hayadut." And so a group of Haredi came and protested against this thing. Now by the way, Sri Yesh, Rav Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg, he also, I think, would be considered in a certain way Haredi. He's a Mir graduate, a Slobodka graduate, and I read it in Wikipedia. I mean, I knew of him beforehand, but I also read a bit more about him in Wikipedia. So apparently, when he passed away, so the Mizrach, he wanted to bury him in a certain cemetery, but the Chevron Rosh Hashiva, Rav Chetzkel Sarna, so he said, no, he's going to be buried in Chalkas Rabbani, because he's a distinguished rabbi, and he should be in the Chalkas Rabbani in Har Menuchos. And this is a story that demonstrates a bit his connection both to the world of Mizrahi. His poster is on the walls of Yeshivas Prachayim, but at the same time, he was a Slobodka graduate, and he was extremely admired also by the Haredim. And he says that in France, you have this group called Yeshurun, and Haredi rabbis come and say, you should not have this organization, boys and girls together, boys and girls singing together. And he explains, they were actually protesting against two things. Ha'irurim hem shnayim. Irur neged surat ha'irgun hazeh. That they have sessions of boys and girls together. That's one problem. Against their menag, they come together, they sit together for Shabbos meals, and sing together Shabbos songs. And this is also, they say, Kobi Sharva. How are they actually singing together? So he says they have two reasons why there's a problem. And he says, you know what? They're right. They're absolutely right. In the Otbet, he says, first of all, you're right. Men and women should not be together. As we saw in Gvar Sukkah, in the beginning they used to be together in Sivichas Beis HaShoeva, then they were separated, and then they were sent to be on the higher floor of the woman, and the men downstairs. So you're right. And also in Orach Chaim, it's also mentioned that on the regalim, so basins should have officers to make sure that men and women are not going to be mixed together. And indeed, yes, had to have people to make sure that this is carry on being that way. The second one, of course, also them singing together. This is an explicit Gemara in Brachos, Kol Bisharva. So I'll tell you what, the Haredis, they're coming and saying these things, they seem to be right. However, he says in Dot Gimel, in the bottom of page 5, מכל מקום, כשנשאלתי על זה ממנהלי ישרון, הוריתי להם שימשיכו את פעולתם על פי הדרך שיתבו להם גדולי אשכנז, שהיו צדיקים גדולים. So, nevertheless, although you have here sources telling you they cannot be mixed together, and you have sources telling you that they cannot sing together, I told them you should carry on the practice of Gdolei Ashkenaz, Rav Hildesheimer, Rav Rashar Hirsch, that they were great tzaddikim, and they were right doing that. V'aladei kach hitzilu kama nefeshot Yisrael v'hitzlichu lekarvam l'Torah v'yirat shamayim. Ugdolei Ashkenaz hayu bgiim u'mumchim l'chumat hachinuch. The rabbis of Ashkenaz had also practical, they knew how to educate. ולכן הצליחו במעשיהם להכיר דורות שנים שבעלי יראת שמיים והשכלה חילונית כאחד, מה שלא עלה בידי גאוני ליטא ופולין. לפי שלא ידעו לכונן את החינוך על פי תנאי הזמן. He says the educators in Germany, with all due respect, and there seems to be respect, they were better educators than the rabbis in Lita and in Poland, because they knew how to provide an education that combines Kodesh and Chol, a high level of secular studies and also a high level of Torah observance, things that the Gdolim of Poland and Lita didn't manage. I asked the chief rabbi, did you hear this thing? Is this true that the Poland and Lita they were not as successful as they were in Germany? So he says, I'll tell you what. I heard from my Rosh Yeshiva, that's what he answered me, Reb David Povalsky, the Polish Rosh Yeshiva, and he got married relatively late, and he said the reason was because no one wanted to marry a Yeshiva Bocher. No one wanted to marry. I mean, all the girls in Lita and Poland didn't want Yeshiva Man, and they wanted they had no interest of people that were in learning. So he says, in a certain sense, yes, in Germany, they might have been more successful than in Lita and in Ashkenaz. And he also says, Yadua Mashi Siper, Hagod Mari Salanter, he brings a story of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, that once Rav Hildesheimer told him, or he saw Rav Hildesheimer, that Rav Hildesheimer, there was a Rav in Germany, he saw Rav Hildesheimer giving classes in Tanakh and in Halacha to young ladies. But you want a reason to impeach your rabbi? The reason should be in Lita, at least, if he's giving classes in Tanakh and Shulchan Aruch to young ladies. However, Halevai, he says in the name of Yisrael Salanter, Halevai she'echelki began Eden, im ha'gon ha'tzadik Rav Azriel Hildesheimer, if I could be like Rav Hildesheimer, because indeed he did the right thing for this particular time. And he said, and he carries on, it's a very long read, it's very interesting, but he says that this is the right thing because we have to provide and somehow bring our youth close to Torah and to mitzvos, and the rabbis from Poland and Lithuania don't know what's happening in France. They don't know the problems of assimilation, and because of that, they don't know how important it is for us to actually have this organization and carry on doing what they're doing. Very interesting line in the middle of page 6, that although this is right, we have Shulchan Aruch and everything, but he says, sof sof, ein anu diktatura tzvait. We're not dictators, and we cannot force the children to carry on being observant. That's why we have to bring all these ideas to feel part of their Jewish heritage. So this is a very, very interesting piece, and this is only a background to his tshuva. I mean, he didn't say anything of Allah here. Actually, in the meantime, he said only the opposite. He says, indeed, it's a problem of being mixed together, and it's a problem of singing together. But he didn't bring any halakha sources to actually support it. But he says, listen, this is the right thing, because otherwise, we're losing our youth. That's what he says. And however, he does bring some kind of source. He also says in Otvav that when he came first time to Berlin and saw in the house of people singing together Shabbos songs, men and women together, he was shocked, but nevertheless, that was the minhag. So why is it okay? Why is it okay? So I'm saying in advance, his riyas are not the most compelling in the world. And that's why many people view this tshuva, that this is right only for a certain time, for a certain place. You can't say now that Ponovich, that they'll call ladies from the local seminary and sing together Shabbos songs, because it's not true. It's only in certain times, certain places. But he does bring some kind of halachic sources. He says, first of all, in the Ot Zayin in page 6, he says, first of all, Terei Kala Lo Mishtami. There's a concept called the two voices you can't hear. So if you hear two shofros playing the shofar at the same time, or two people saying Megillah at the same time, you're not Yotze, because you can't hear two voices at the same time. So if you have now voices of men, voices of women, or even numerous women, so in that case, you can't actually hear the voice of the woman, so in that case, Tzrikala L'mishtame, this should be okay. This is actually also mentioned right here on the side in Halichos Shlomo. So Shlomo Zalman says that girls during a trip, they're singing in the bus. So he says that should actually be a problem for the driver hearing the girls singing all kinds of songs. In Hebrew, we have a song Hanag Shalom Chevreman, Hui Kechotanu Leteiman. That's usually the song that you sing. But if he hears the songs of the girls, it's a problem. However, he does mention this Sri Deyesh. Listen, since it's a bunch of voices together, you're actually not hearing any voice in particular. Take out of Mishlame, it might be okay. But he says says, but this is something which is brought down. Why isn't this actually a good idea? Because the Gemara does say that certain things that are chavive, that you enjoy hearing, so indeed you do hear these things. So if a person actually feels some kind of closeness to a young girl, and he actually wants to hear this thing, so in that case, he will hear the voice of this girl. That's why Tlika Mishtami is not the most compelling raya, but that's what he brings.
Is it because there's different aspects to the sister? One is there, and one is...
No, he says, Lemaisa, whatever it is, you're not hearing the voice. Today, Tlika Mishtami.
So, because there's...
It doesn't matter. It could be either aspect. He says, "Lemaisa, you're not hearing the voice. You have a group of girls singing together. You're not hearing the voice because you can't actually focus on the voice. You're not hearing anything. So in that case, it's fine."
Yeah, you're working on two aspects.
Yeah.
That are
yeah.
One is the air part. One is the
voice. Bad, Sam.
The hihul.
Sorry, the hihul. It doesn't matter, because the hilul is caused by hearing a voice. He says, no matter what, you're not hearing a voice. Not hearing a voice. The other rabbis say, listen, I did the chavive mishtami. If you want to hear the voice, you're going to hear this voice. So it'll be a problem. He also brings a raya that Dvorah and Barak were singing together. So in that case, you see that they actually sing together. V'tashol Dvorah, u'barak ben avinom. And we open the shir, explaining that either she didn't really sing anything, she just read a poem, or this was a special case. But he also brings another answer. The Chidabris says an answer that since it was a Shura Sashchina, she had this divine koyach and presence that actually caused her to say that this Shira. So in that case, there isn't any Hiru. And he also says, in that case, also Shira Kodesh, Rechashin and Hiru. I think it's a bit of a stretch, right? Yeah, even if we do hold it, this was indeed a song, Ruch HaKodesh. Now Shira Kodesh and Shabbos. My Edidus is a Shasa Shechina. Hard to believe. A bit of a stretch. But that's what he says. He also brings the Kesef Mishneh, who is Medak in the Rambam. The Isra is to Lehenot Mekola, that the purpose of hearing the voice, if you sit down, you want to actually enjoy the voice, that's a problem, but you come together and sing Shabbos songs, so you're actually thinking about Lashem Shemaim, to praise Hashem, to praise Shabbos, so you actually have no intention to hear the voice. Again, I feel bad because I think I'm presenting this in a way that's not very compelling, but indeed, I don't really find this 100% compelling, but that's what he says. And of course, the main thing that he says is, then what can we do? That we have to keep people religious, we have to keep our youth close to Torah and mitzvos, so that's why we have to actually allow this thing. So he brings a bunch of reasons why we should actually carry on doing these things. He does say that in that case, after he brings a whole heter, why it is fine to sing together. So he does mention in page 7, in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th paragraph, he says, "Ein lachuf al anashim shesichodesh levizvot hakodesh." Don't force them to sing. Like now that this is actually okay, maybe now singing together is mandatory. Right? You're coming to Bnei Akiva camp, to a Yeshurun camp, so you have to come to sing with us. So no, don't force anyone, because still, it is a good minhag not to hear the voices of ladies singing. So Lemaisa, and he bashes the Haredi once again, and he says that the Haredi rabbis, they are too much in their own society, noticing the simulation, which is happening also among themselves. So that's why it's very important. So Allah Lemaisa, if you ask my personal opinion, I feel that this entire tshuva is very much b'diavad. And I think it's very clear. Like, he's not describing this entire mitzias, that there's assimilation, children are feeling connected. So that's why I think he's bringing this heter, really in this particular case, that otherwise, you're going to be going. 100%. But I think that, Baruch Hashem, I think the majority of us are quite observant, or trying to be observant. So if we can avoid it, this would be a good idea, as mentioned in Tzitzit Eliezer and in Chasam Sofer. Okay, leave it here for today. We're 2 minutes late. Maybe we'll carry on next week. We'll see. Fine.